time, please come to the island.
First, let me just quickly repeat what has been said in the past. This feast appears relatively late in the church. We hear about it through St. Andrew of Crete, who was familiar with it in the 7th century. He was familiar with it in Jerusalem. In the West, this feast comes much later, during the Avignon Papacy. It is a feast that shows to us, first of all, that the Church is continually reflecting on its life. The Church continues to reflect on what it means to be the living body of Christ. The Church, throughout history, meditates, contemplates its ongoing, eternal relationship with the triune and tripersonal God. Now let's look at this icon. It is an icon that depicts an event which did not occur. It is an icon, we are celebrating a feast of an event which did not occur, and yet we have to ask ourselves, we have to contemplate, we have to meditate. Why are we celebrating this feast? This is the feast, like all the great feasts of the Church, that opens to us the inexhaustible mystery of divine love. It is the feast, like all the great feasts of the Church, that opens to us, reveals to us, our relationship with God. Now again, look at this icon. The Virgin, according to the text, according to the apocryphal writings from which this feast is taken, is 3 years old. She is the smallest in this image. She is the most vulnerable. She is the most weak. And yet, she is the greatest of anyone in this icon. She is the greatest of all those born into existence. She is, as the readings we heard this evening from the Old Testament tell us, she is the Ark of the Covenant. She is the tabernacle of the living God. She is the temple. She is the candlestick upon which he who is light and life shines forth into the world. As St. Gregory Palama says in his lengthy homily on this feast, he has two homilies on this feast, one short and one rather long. In his longer homily, he refers to the Virgin, this little child of 3 years old, as the one who makes possible God becoming a man, and therefore also makes possible men, human beings, to become God. The smallest, the weakest, most vulnerable, the least, becomes the greatest. This is something absolutely fundamental to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to be first, you must be last. If you want to live, you must die. And here we see, we celebrate, in a sense, the death of this three-year-old child, in that she dies to the old life and ascends to the place which we refer to as the Holy of Holies. And this will be the last thing that we, as the Church here and now, have to contemplate. Whose place does she occupy?
God's place? The Holy of Holies was God's place.
And who entered this place?
Oh, the high priest.
The high priest.
The high priest. She enters the place of the high priest. Not only enters the place of the high priest, she lives there. She abides there. She is taught the mystery of the pre-eternal Word and Son of God. She is prepared to become precisely tabernacle, candlestick, ark, and temple. She takes the place of the high priest. She occupies the place of the high priest. She prepares the world for the coming of the one high priest who reveals to us that all of us, regardless of age, regardless of gender, are to be priests and prophets of creation. We, like the Virgin, are to offer ourselves to the living God so that God can abide within us. We are to be the prophets of creation, just as the Virgin is the prophet of creation. Be it unto me as you will, is her response to the angel Gabriel. We are to say the same words. Be it done unto me as you will, so that indeed God's presence can be known here and now. We are to be the kings and queens of creation, showing that indeed the one who reigns now and forever is the triune and tripersonal God. Amen.